This episode is brought to you by Visit Williamsburg. In Williamsburg, Virginia, there's never too much of a good thing. Whether you're a foodie, a golfer, a history buff, a shopaholic, an outdoor enthusiast, or a thrill seeker, you'll find what you came for here and more. So ask yourself, what is it you want? Discover Williamsburg and plan your trip at visitwilliamsburg.com.
Life is a highway. And on it, there will be many chicken sandwiches. But there's only one McCrispy. So go ahead and hit the turn signal if you know about this juicy gem of a detour.
Hello, I'm Rob Beckett.
And I'm Josh Widdicombe.
Welcome to Parenting Hell, the show in which Josh and I discuss what it's really like to be a parent, which I would say can be a little tricky.
So, to make ourselves, and hopefully you, feel better about the trials and tribulations of modern-day parenting, each week we'll be chatting to a famous parent about how they're coping.
Or hopefully how they're not coping.
And we'll also be hearing from you, the listener, with your tips, advice and, of course, tales of parenting woe.
Because, let's be honest, there are plenty of times when none of us know what we're doing. Hello, you're listening to Parenting Hell with...
Can you say... Rob Beckett. And Josh.
Widdicombe.
Something like that.
I think he was better at your name than mine, wasn't he?
Widdicombe's a hard surname.
It's a difficult one for the 2.5 year olds.
It is, isn't it? But you know, who was that? Who was that giving it a good old
so
welly?
That was Solomon, son of Ruth Andrews. I've been a listener since day one. This is my lovely little boy, Solomon, age 2.5. He gets Rob's name spot on, has a bit of trouble with Widdicombe. Your fault for having an awkward surname, Josh. Anyway, cheers, keep up the fab work, Ruth.
Solomon, what is that for short? Sol?
Sol.
Like Sol Campbell?
Yeah.
Or Solly?
Solly. Solo? Sol? Sol, I think you'd end up calling.
Sol. It's my accent. Like this, and a name can really change on your accent, can't it?
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Some of the names, like Chelsea. There's kids. I remember a girl being called Chelsea at my school. Chels. It's hard when it's a football team or like Mercedes.
What were the big names at your school when you were growing up, Rob?
Lot of Jacks. I went to school with a kid called Lawrence, and we just called him Logs or Logo.
Why do you call him Logs?
I don't know. We've always called him Logs for Lawrence.
So it's not like a nickname, it's just short for Lawrence, Logs.
I don't know if it is or not, but Logs, yeah. Shout out to Logo if you're listening.
Did you have many nicknames at your school? We didn't really do that many nicknames.
I was called Bex until David Beckham existed.
Oh,
and then no one could give me that. No real nicknames really, apart from just like I think I mentioned before.
That could
like,
be you and Lou could be Posh and Bex, couldn't you?
Posh and Bex, yes, we could. Have I not thought of that joke before?
Have you not thought of that before, Rob?
Oh,
there we go.
I'm falling apart. I've got nothing left. Josh,
how
exciting
are you?
Times. I'm excited. There's a date in the diary for the big school dad's night out.
Oh, lock up your daughters.
Oh.
Kind of, that's a weird thing to say.
That's a really weird thing to say, especially when we talk about children.
Yeah, that genuinely is the worst sentence I could have said for the school dad's night out.
The school dad's night out, that is the worst, the worst thing you could have said, but you didn't mean it, so we'll just skirt over that. But like, lock up your bloody pint taps.
Yeah, too right.
Lock up your pint taps.
Fonts?
Are they called a tap? It's a tap, isn't it?
Yeah, it's a tap. It's
draft.
A tap.
It's draft.
Yeah. It's a tap.
What you got on draft?
Beer
that
taps.
Is what I've missed saying on a Spanish holiday.
Yeah.
What you got on draft? That is the best sentence
Ross
of a holiday.
Australia.
But that is the most exciting part of a holiday. I've really been craving a proper holiday, Josh, because we've not allowed them, are we?
Right.
Just sitting in the... Because normally, I don't know about you, I go somewhere, I try and pretend I'm cultured and I want to visit places, but I normally find the bar I like and go there every night. That's kind of what I do. And that first day, when you sit down in the sun, you've just got there from the airport, maybe you're still in your travelling clothes, and you sit down, you don't know what they've got on draft yet, and you go, what you got on draft? And then you have... whatever they've got on draft.
Oh, Rob,
and you're so excited because you panic if they say John Smith's, but if they say the local Estrella, you're absolutely hard. I want to be hard for a pint in the sun, Josh. I'm very aware that I've been speaking about not drinking in the last episode.
Could you just describe also the experience of having a pint? I enjoyed that so much.
Yeah.
Just describe the feeling of having a pint in the airport.
Here's the feeling, right? Okay, so you've got in the hire car or the coach or whatever to your hotel or your apartment or your villa or whatever, and then you dump your bags. You've either gone straight out or you've had a shower. We've had a shower. You've got there. We've jumped in the pool with the kids because they're all hot and sweaty. And then you go back and have a quick shower. And then you're going out because it's evening time now. And you sit down at a bar and have a drink before you go out for dinner. And you sit down there and you say, what's on draft? And you're wearing your brand new flip-flops, your new T-shirt that's out the packet, and your new shorts.
What's on your T-shirt?
My T-shirt. It's just a little Adidas one. And I've gone for a white one because it's going to be really hot. And I don't normally like wearing white in the UK because I've got milky fat tits.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
in the holidays, I'm happy to forgive myself.
Why not?
Go for it. Yourself. Just to be cool, you know?
Yeah, exactly.
And you sit there and you say, what's on draft? And then they say what's on draft and they bring out a big cold tankard pint glass that's been
tankard?
In a freezer. You know, like a tankard one with the side. No, your hands aren't, so you're not actually touching the cold, but you're keeping it cold. And it's out of a freezer and it all goes cold and that misty on the outside. And the Spanish waiter goes, grande, grande. English, grande. You go, at this point in time, I fucking love that stereotype. Give me a big frothy bastard pint of beer and I'm going to down it in one. Actually, order me two. I'm down in the first one. I'll sip the second. I'm on fucking holiday. That's where I'm at, Josh.
Oh, mate.
Oh, can you imagine it?
Oh, God. I hate COVID.
And then also, and then you sit there and you go, do you know what? Should we just have a picky dinner? The kids like it here because there's a little playground outside the bar. And then what happens is you sit there, they play for ages. You give them some euros to get a little toy out of the machine. They keep running backwards and forwards. And then an entertainer turns up and entertains them for an hour doing some sort of shit song. You sit there, you get half cut, and then you slowly wander over to the play area. And that's when you realize you're pissed because you get hit in the head by a swing. That's the holiday I want.
Oh, and God. When will you have that? 2022.
Oh, fuck knows, mate. Well, I'm supposed to be going to Dubai for a gig in October. And
if that's what you're looking forward to, your life is shit. are you going on holiday with your family? I'm doing a gig in Dubai. Not the same thing.
No, not the same thing. So, and even then, also drinking in Dubai is always a bit stressful because it's not allowed, but it is in a hotel, isn't it? It's a bit panicky. I've been toying with never drinking again. And I think that's probably quite a good point of view, mental health wise and body wise. But two pints in on a Friday evening and sat in a bar, right? Two pints in. And we haven't planned this, but you're in the local area and you just walk in and go, Beckett. And I'm like, do you want a beer? And you're like, yeah, I haven't got to be home for an hour. Imagine that moment sober.
But two pints in,
it's the greatest moment ever, isn't it?
I'm going to say, judging by the last 5 minutes of this podcast, the not drinking thing, I don't think you're there yet.
No, I don't either.
I don't think you've made your peace with it.
I haven't. So, let's just
keep the bucket hat. Don't put it in the National Museum yet, National Football Museum yet.
I don't know where my bucket hat is, actually. I think Lou washed it. I need to find it.
Oh, my word.
Anyway, Josh, something's exciting.
So tell me about the dad's night out.
Dad's night out.
Because that, if you did that sober, that would be tough, wouldn't it, Rob?
No, exactly. You've got to have a couple of drinks to meet new people. We're British. Yeah. We can't just be confident enough to talk to new people we don't know, can we? Let's have a look. Let me try and find the little group.
Is there a WhatsApp group?
Called Year One Dads.
Year One Dads.
They've booked tables at the local pub, which is basically the nearest pub to the school, because everyone's obviously local, from 6:30 PM.
Bloody hell, some people are getting their kids in bed early, aren't they?
Well, no, their partners will be at home, won't they?
Oh, yeah.
The mums will be at home, because the mums are going out on another night.
Oh, the mums' night out.
They're going out the week before, and we're going out the week after.
Oh, my word.
And we've got it from 6:30 PM for the whole night in the outdoor area under the canopy.
What time are you turning up?
Catching up over drinks and dinner. Dinner bit sounds like they're not boozers, are they?
No, that is disappointing, isn't it? Also, do you know the problem with dinner?
What's the problem with dinner?
When you turn up, Rob,
the
first 3 minutes is the most important moment of the night. Because when you sit down, that is where you are now. There's no mingling.
Not yet. Oh, yes. I don't think we should have booked tables. I think it should have just been stood up at a bar chatty vibe because then you can mix.
Yeah, I think so. You don't need a sit-down dinner. You're not Jesus and the disciples. Come on, mate. What's the food going to be?
It's just pub fare.
Pub grub.
But yeah, so I'm excited. But what was quite exciting was because a lot of these dads work like in office jobs and they've been working from home and stuff, but they're so much better at admin than me. I got sent, they went, okay, well, and I got emailed a link that was like an availability check. And this fucking spreadsheet, like Svengali, went, oh, everyone's available on this day. And we all were. Because
oh, wow.
if we put all the information in. They basically market researched the dads. And now we're all going on a day that we can all make.
Do you think, Rob,
yeah.
that they're quite excited that you're there, considering your career's on the up?
Well, I'm a bit worried. Well, yeah, I'm up, the rebirth of me, considering I was on the yeah. scrap heap, according to that bloke last episode. I just really hope it's not a Excel spreadsheet-dominated chat, because I've yeah. got nothing on that.
Have they circulated the topics that we discussed in the spreadsheet?
I didn't even own a computer or Excel or Word until I got my book deal.
Is that true?
Yeah.
So how did you email?
Off my phone.
You didn't own a computer?
No. So Lou had a I had an old one that didn't work from years ago, but Lou had a laptop which I used to use if I needed it.
Blimey, Rob.
I know. It's mad, isn't it?
Yeah.
But now I've got...
Do you know what? That'll blow their minds. That you should open with that.
Mate, I've got all sorts. I've got PowerPoint. I've got Keynote. What is Keynote?
Don't know.
I've got OneNote.
Don't know.
The lot,
I think you've got more than OneNote, Rob. I think that's unfair on you as a performer.
Life is a highway, and on it there will be many chicken sandwiches. But there's only one McCrispy. So go ahead and hit the turn signal if you know about this juicy gem of a detour.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Right, Josh, before we introduce Ellie Taylor, yeah. our returning guest, who's moved to the countryside, which is quite interesting, for more space and as a parenting decision, I think. I've got a couple more Instagram messages. Do you want them?
Hit me up.
Okay, here we go.
We'll get back to emails, but my life is in flux.
Look, I'm happy to take Instagrams on for a couple of weeks while you survive yeah. your child acid refluxing. Here we go. Ba-ba-da-ba-da. Right. Love the podcast, completely relatable for parents. This one, I don't know if they want us to know who this is, another anonymous. When we went back to homeschooling and they started doing Zoom lessons, I hadn't realised the kids had not muted it, which all parents, teachers and kids can hear. I had a busy morning, the kids had been fed and I got the last bourbon biscuit out of the packet and was looking forward to dipping it in my tea.
So bleak.
I put it on the table and went to get my tea and my French bulldog ate my biscuit.
Oh my gosh.
Sleep deprived and starving, I lost my shit. Absolutely lost my shit. Rightfully or wrongfully, I shouted at the top of my voice and called the dog a greedy fat c- My kids looked at me in shock, and shortly after, a whole school was emailed a polite reminder that everyone can hear what people are saying in their house.
Word. No.
The only thing that made me feel better was I was talking to the dog and not the kids, but none of them know that.
Oh, God.
None of them know that.
None of them know that. They think it's for the kids.
They thought they were talking to the kids.
They thought that's... No. Oh, my God.
Greedy, fat... I can really feel that's a real energetic delivery as well. That
bourbon as well, not even one of the good biscuits.
I know, but that's all she had. That is all she
man
had.
Man alive.
Here's a good one. This is about surprise pregnancy, right? Yeah. This is a good one, Josh. On your subject of undiagnosed pregnancies, a girl I knew was suffering from suspected appendicitis symptoms. She was 16 going on 17 and with a steady boyfriend. He took her to hospital and they both got the surprise of their life when they were told she was in labour.
The pregnancy had gone completely
undiagnosed and with missed periods being dismissed by her as stress from school exams. I think she's in like doing A-levels. Yeah. Whilst in hospital giving birth to their surprise baby, the girl's older sister who was pregnant, which was planned, came... Oh, God, is that the burglar alarm going
in? Oh, my God. That's the guy putting the locks on the windows, Rob.
Okay, I'll be quick.
Could I just say also, by the way, to burglars, we're recording this Friday one. When we're recording Tuesday one, he hasn't been doing that job for 3 days. I've never had to do an appeal to burglars before.
No. Oh, God, he's really good. Was he breaking in or breaking out the geezer? Has he locked him in? How could this alarm?
Maybe it's the fact that the burglars can no longer get in now.
burglars trying to break in.
Try your best, guys. We've got locks now, you fucking losers.
Well, anyway, so...
bring it on.
Anyway, this girl didn't know she was pregnant, had the baby, but on the exact same day, the girl's older sister... The girl's older sister came in, who was due to give birth, and the two sisters gave birth to their babies on the exact same day, and they both had girls. What are the odds?
That is insane.
Right, needless to say, they were in shock. Love your podcast. Beam with you.
Imagine. That is so mad.
Yeah. What about stealing thunder?
I know, that's like proposing at someone's wedding, isn't it?
I know. Oh, my God. Anyway, Josh, I think we should wrap this up before your burglar alarm goes in again.
Oh, yeah, I'll just say before we wrap up that the older sister's going to be livid because her babysitting opportunities have been halved instantly.
Know. Oh, God, that is brutal. That, you know, that does cause sibling rivalry.
Exactly. Exactly.
College. Right, Josh, we've got Ellie Taylor. She's moved to the countryside in Essex from cool London.
Love Ellie Taylor. Also, got, I'd say, the best discussion we've ever had about post-caesarean shit.
Oh, yeah. If you've had a baby and you're struggling with a big shit, this is the podcast for you. And if you're not, it's still pretty good. Rule yourself out if you're not waiting for a shit after giving birth. That really does narrow our audience.
But it really was a learning experience for me and Rob, which I think we all enjoyed.
Yeah. Enjoy, guys.
Ellie Taylor, hello.
Hello.
The return of Ellie Taylor.
The return. Yeah. She's back.
Country Squire, Ellie Taylor.
Well, yes, we always invite guests back. There's been a big change. Normally it's another child, but you've gone a different route, haven't you, Ellie?
I keep hearing you say that I've moved to the country.
To the country.
We can tell by your internet reception.
Oh, well, that is quite shit. but no, I'm not. I'm really not. I'm properly in the burbs, man. I'm in the burbs.
So, what zone of life? Are you in London still?
No. Well,
the burbs of what then?
I'm on an oyster, just about, but in Essex. I'm in Essex, right on the.
So, what zone?
Oh, what I think zone? It's like nine. What's the point?
Zone nine.
What is the point?
Rob, your zone five suddenly feels really central.
God, I'm getting so stressed out in like Midtown Manhattan where I live in zone five. Yellow cabs everywhere and hot dog stands.
So last time we spoke to you, Ellie, you lived down the road from me.
I did.
To the point where you were once... I mean, we used to often see each other in the park.
We did.
And you used to get cocktails delivered door to door on some little moustache man's bike. Was that you was getting lockdown cocktails?
That was it. Oh, yeah, and I advised Josh to get some and then he nearly died because they were so strong.
Yeah, that was it. That was correct. I couldn't deal with them.
So you moved from the East End of London, all the cool, hip, happening place, to full-on burbs. I think you are in the countryside and you're in denial and you're clinging on to the burbs. But
well,
you're actually
it's a bit
in a village.
Of both, but I did see a deer in the garden the other day.
No, that is not the suburbs.
Mate,
that's the rule. You can't see a deer. Unless you're at Centre Parks, right? That can't be the suburbs. If you've got deer.
I mean, it's kind of a weird mix. It's like I can see a deer, but I can also get a Pizza Express within about 7 minutes. I'm walking a weird
dream.
Line here. Yeah.
I think that's just the future, isn't it? I want a Romana whilst looking at wildlife.
What did you do when you saw a deer?
Filmed it, obviously.
Immediately. A little movie. Townie. Yeah.
And we've seen a badger as well. We've got quite a lot of badger. We've got a real badger problem, if I'm honest, in the back garden.
Oh, what's the badger problem?
Well, every night they just come in and have a party and they like snuffle up your lawn and they turn it all over. It's like the summer.
You can't get rid of them.
No, you can't. It's
not
awful.
Allowed.
No,
Brian
not allowed.
May turns up.
Big
and he
time.
Plays Queen guitar solos in your garden until you leave them alone.
Yeah, they're a real issue around here. So you know, it's not all the fun and games in the countryside.
No, of course. What made you make the move?
I think being in lockdown in our little place in London, we just wanted some more space for the kid.
Because you've still just got one, haven't you?
We just got one.
How old now?
She's 2.5.
She's 2.5. Well, still young, yeah.
Still little. And the people next door on one side were a house share and they smoked a lot of weed. So
Oh, it was so awkward.
It was so awkward. Yeah, and it was just, yeah, there was a lot of that. There was a lot of like, I don't know. It's a really fun area, but it was a bit sort of dicey in places. So it was
I take exception to this description of it. Thank you very much, Ellie.
No, excuse me, Josh. You lived in the nice bit. That's why I lived in the shitty bit.
Well, yeah, no, I mean, that is true, you know.
Oh, it's Josh's a nice bit.
Oh, it's a lovely bit where Josh lives. Really good. Is it?
I don't think.
Tommy Walsh lives across the street.
Who lives? Who?
Tommy Walsh from Ground Force.
Yeah, I bet he bought it with about 10 grand a house.
I think Sharon Horgan lives quite near you, Josh.
She does. Yeah. She does.
Oh, God, this actually stinks of The Guardian. The little media liberal elite all just snuffling around with Tommy Walsh having a pint in the pot and arsehole, whatever the pub's called. The problem is I worked on Columbia Road Flower Market, so I remember it just being horrendous around there. That was like 20 years ago I worked at the market. Oh, my God, how old am I? I just said I worked at a market 20 years ago.
Oh, mate.
Sorry. Anyway, but it's not ideal for kids, is it? That's what we're getting.
Yeah.
But this is awkward now because Josh still lives there.
Yeah, but
interesting because
Tommy Walsh isn't smoking weed, I don't think. So
Tommy Walsh, when he went on Celebrity Fit Club, he revealed that he drank a pint of Baileys a day.
What a man.
Oh, my gosh.
Not every day. At Christmas, I bet you off.
No, every day. Every day. Pint of Baileys. Ends the day with a pint of Baileys.
Do you think he pours it into a pint glass?
Or just has loads of little ones?
Yeah, loads of little ones.
He's got to have loads of little ones. I mean, it's too bleak to pour it into the pint glass.
You need a lot of ice as well then, because you don't want a warm Baileys.
No. No, exactly. It's interesting because it's a conversation that me and my wife continually have, because we love the area, but would we stay, you know? And when will we go, etc.
Mm.
So it's interesting to talk to someone who's had the same experience.
Yeah, I do really miss it though, to be honest. I really miss being in town. It doesn't take that long to get in. It takes about half an hour on the train to get in. But I miss like walking around and just being part of London and being like, oh my God, I feel so alive and vibrant. And it's not like that. It's just really suburbs here. It's quite towy. Like from my house, I can leave my house and I can walk past maybe five, six, seven places to get Botox and fillers.
Genuinely.
Like it's more convenient for me to get Botox than it is to buy a loaf of bread. Like it's mad. It's mad times around here. So it's so different to like what I would give to see a man with a little like, you know, selling me some kombucha with a little top knot. Like there's no hipsters around here.
Oh, come on. You don't want, that's the worst bit of it, isn't it?
No, I want it. I crave a hipster so bad. I really do.
Did you know you'd miss that?
Did I know I'd miss that? I don't know. I hadn't really, I just didn't think it would be this sort of so different. It's quite a culture shift kind of in a really weird way.
Yeah, because I'd moved to Zone 5. It's only Bromley, so it's not like miles away in the countryside, but you do notice the quality of like restaurants drops off.
Yeah.
Compared to when you're and you guys were properly in town, like right where it was all sort of happening and stuff. So then after a while, you do just want a Pizza Express and go to bed.
Yeah.
I'm sort of bored of trying new things. I know it's bad.
Have you tried everything you want to do?
Yeah, like, yeah, but I was talking to my mate the other day. He went, oh, I've just had some really lovely Ethiopian food. And I was just like, I just don't think I can get in a headspace to try that. Just because I just think, I don't know what it is. I've not had it before. I'm probably going to order it wrong. It's a lot of work that goes into it, where even though, you know, a Pizza Express pizza isn't the best in the world, but you know what you're going to get.
What you get is so true.
Consistency.
Yeah, and we were looking at other places, probably more in the sort of country where, and it sounds so shallow, but there were places where you couldn't get Deliveroo, and we were like, it's an absolute no. We're not. We can't go to a time where there isn't Deliveroo.
Did you turn up at the house to view it and then turn the Deliveroo on?
I did afterwards. Yeah, I checked on all the places to see what we could get, and if they weren't on there, I messaged Deliveroo and said, "Are you going to be moving into this area anytime soon?"
Oh my god!
Oh my god, Ellie, that is a desperate experience.
Oh my god, it is, isn't it? But it's fine.
And what about Ubers? Can you get Ubers where you are? It's all fine for Uber and stuff.
Oh, it's a bit of a wait for an Uber, but if you're lucky.
What are we looking at? What are we looking at?
Well, I mean, if I look now, I imagine there's probably one car and it will be maybe 15 minutes away. Like, well,
let's all do that now. Let's all do it now. Okay. And then we can work out how far everyone is away from things, right? So you're 15 minutes is a long wait, isn't it?
It does seem a long wait. Do you know, I can't even remember where Uber is on my phone because I just haven't used it for so long.
You just phone a taxi firm, old school.
Yeah, old Mick.
Right. If I got an Uber now, it'd take 5 minutes. It's 5 minutes away.
5 minutes away. Okay.
I'm disappointed in that.
That is bad for you. I'm 4 minutes. You want to move to zone five?
Mate, I need to move to zone five.
I'm on four mins, mate.
Oh,
what's going on?
There's not even a car. Not even a car. Oh God, I'm stranded.
Just go on deer back. Jump on a deer. Not even a car, you're stranded.
Oh wow. The one Uber, he's doing a job. The one Uber is
that's like, have you ever got, you know, go to a cottage in the countryside when like you ring up to book and it's just one cab driver and they go, I can't do that job because I've got to pick Mark up at 9. I'm like, that's Mark.
I think I've still got saved in my phone from so many weddings in random places. It'll be like John Taxi Hereford.
Yeah.
Because you have to book it about 3 weeks in advance, see you.
But obviously for you and your partner, it's not ideal on that kind of thing. But is it better for your daughter? Have you found? Is there more to do? Is she enjoying the garden and stuff like that?
Yeah, she loves the garden.
Bit more hyper without the weed, is she?
It's a bit annoying, really.
She's eating less, though.
Just can't get through the Pringles I've bought, Morty Pat. Still there.
She loves it. She goes now to a forest school, which is great. So it's proper in the middle of a forest. We have to drive down it's like a 5 minute drive through the forest to get there. So proper potholes, it's all very exciting.
Suburbs, sort of suburbsy stuff, isn't it? Yeah. That 5 minute drive for a forest.
Oh, 5 minute drive. And then she comes home covered in mud. So she's delighted with that. She loves having more space to run around, seeing her grandparents more. All that kind of stuff. So yeah.
And nursery and schools, are they better where you are now than where you were before?
Well, don't know really. We'll see about schools. It's not as clear cut. So I don't need to worry about that for another year or so.
Yeah.
I don't know when you look into these things. I just follow my friend who has a kid the same age. So whatever she does, I follow her.
Well, I think we've skipped over, Ellie.
Oh.
I think you've hinted at the real reason for your move. When you said she sees her grandparents a lot.
Mm-hmm.
Are we talking a move to increase babysitting opportunities? Is that what we're looking at here?
I would say that was 80% of the reason that we moved. Yes. It's joyful.
I'm going to tell you that. It's the best thing you've ever done.
Yeah. It's great.
It's better to have 50 average nights out a year than one really good one. And when they're around the corner, just dump them and run away, and then they love it. And then, but there'll be a stage, though, because you use them loads. They'll be a bit like, God, okay, we did have them last weekend and stuff like that. And you go, okay, yeah, don't worry. And then basically give them the cold shoulder for a bit, and then they come crawling back for more.
Well, do you know, we moved at an interesting time. So we moved a few weeks after my sister and her family, who also lived in this area, they've emigrated to Australia. So
they left.
My mum and dad have like lost two grandchildren. Like they just don't have access to them anymore because they're locked in Australia. So we're the only grandchild. So we now get 100% of the grandparents, which is amazing.
Because that is a thing that is a real, like, if you've got from a large family, you've got loads of kids, it does cause a bit of conflict between the siblings if one, you know, kids are getting more babysitting time than the other. So that is, you've absolutely nailed that.
Your complete monopoly. I mean, obviously devastated that my sister's gone, yada, yada, but brilliant. Mum and dad always free. They had her for two nights the other weekend. We went for a long weekend to Soho Farmhouse. What a bunch of twats.
Sharon Organ and Tommy Walsh, yeah? You got the East London lot.
Got that, and they said, you said, can I have a Baileys? They said, we've sold out. You said, bloody well, Tommy's been here. He's beating me to it.
Do you know who the first person I saw in Soho Farmhouse was? Riding past me on a bike, Simon Cowell.
Really?
Whoa. On a bike with his history, and he was delighted.
Was he wearing a life jacket like he does on his jet skis? I've only ever seen him on holiday on jet skis. I didn't know he did have holidays.
No, just knocking around. He was having a lovely time.
Was he worried he was going to get his bootcut jeans caught in spokes?
Imagine if he had little ankle clips on. No, I didn't look at his legwear. Damn it!
So you are getting full. So that's two nights away from your child. Is that the longest you've ever spent away from her?
No, I've ditched her for 2 weeks once for work when she was quite little.
Really?
Yeah, that was lovely. Great.
Wow. Where did you? What work was it?
I was filming something in Bulgaria. I was filming plebs in Bulgaria.
Oh, so a proper acting job. Oh, how was that though? Leaving her for 2 weeks.
I was fine. I've never ever had a problem with leaving her ever.
I think embrace that as well because I think as well, it's more difficult if your kids don't see the grandparents or other family members very often, and then you leave them. That's awkward, and because they don't know what's going on. But they're so happy. My kids at both sets of grandparents. You can just leave them with them, and they're happy, and they don't care. So you know, there's not that worry.
Absolutely, yeah. You know, they're just going to be spoiled, and they're fine. So yeah, I've always gone. Am I a bit weird for like just being like ladies and running off? Never been bothered.
No, I think it's good.
I think you're refreshingly honest. That's okay. What I think you are. Ellie.
Okay, phew. Thanks. I tried to.
But
be
could you have done a 2 week holiday? But because it was work, it made it easier.
No, I don't think I'd. I think that would be
I think 5 nights max if you're going to go away on holiday with your kid. But like me and Lua do that where I'll have the kids and she goes away. She wants like Miami with her friends for 5 nights. Yeah. And she found that a little bit too long. But I don't think I could leave them, like both of us go. I don't mind if I go away with my mates. Because I went to watch the boxing and stuff for a few nights and she had them. But yeah, I don't think we could both leave them, I think.
No, I think I'd feel bad.
Especially now because they're more grown up. It's different when they're a baby, but now like they're like my little mates. I want to be on holiday with them, you know?
Are they good fun? How old are yours now, Rob? Are they good fun?
5 and 3.
Oh, so is that to me sounds like they're good fun on holidays.
Yeah, it is. Obviously they have their little strops and stuff, but we haven't really done, to be fair though, the last holiday we did was like before lockdown where the youngest was a little bit small still, so it's a bit like, oh, is she gonna trip or whatever, and that kind of stuff all the time. But now when we can go on holiday, like I cannot wait because they're gonna be just, it'd be brilliant to be like sitting on the beach and running around and playing. So like your little pals at this age.
Yeah, that we just came back from Cornwall. We went for a week with my parents, and I have to say, so we were living in the same house as my parents. I think 4 adults to 1 child is the perfect ratio. I think it's the only humane ratio that exists.
Yeah, 4 to 1.
And you can totally see the benefit of multi-generational households. Why don't we all do it? It's fantastic. No one got bored of her because she was just running around like talking to different people all the time. It's amazing.
Yeah. Yeah, but then you've got to actually live. Yeah, so it was your parents?
It was my parents. Yeah, my husband's
How does he get on with them?
Oh, he gets on well with them. He gets on well with them. I've spent... He does. No, he does. No.
Sounds like he doesn't, but... No, it's good childcare.
It's good childcare. He does, but he's Aussie and he's not into sport. So my dad loves
to
sport.
To the point where you don't, you said it like you'd never even heard the word.
Sport.
Is it called sport?
Running, jumping, kicky things. So that was quite, we watched a lot of football, obviously, while we were away, and there's also Wimbledon on. So that was quite interesting to sort of see him navigate that.
Oh, that's good, yeah.
So could I ask, we were recording this the day after England have swatted away Denmark in the semi-finals. Yeah. Did you watch that?
We did, actually. My parents came round and we all got quite into it. I think Dad was just annoyed because me and my mum have no knowledge, but a lot of opinions.
Oh, I can't deal with that. I'm a bit like 1950s when it comes to the football, you know, sort of like an archaic attitude. I'm like, if you don't know about the football, I can't watch it with you. Back off. Get out of my house.
I had to text my friends to apologise this morning because I told them off during the game for not taking it seriously.
Oh, did you?
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm on your side, Josh. I can't watch a normal game, yeah, but the quarterfinals or the semifinals of the Euros, I can't have someone go, oh, well, do they normally wear red shorts and a red top? Who gives a fuck?
Oh, yeah, that's me. Oh, I had such a long conversation about how does the ref know what to wear? So he must have to decide after the other
two. Oh, no, Elliot, I'd walk out.
And then I talk about the advertising boards. Oh, get into that. It's so interesting. When they were playing in Rome, I was like, oh, the Italians won't know what Just Eat is. But it turns out they have Just Eat in Italia. In Italia? In Italy.
Oh,
so,
sorry. But you know what they do, which is really, it's off the point of parenting, but, you know, advertising boards, they've got this technology so that that's one lot of footage, but they change what's on the advertising board for the different countries.
Yeah, I saw that.
So it's like a weird computer thing, and it just blew my mind. Like, so it's they just change the advertising board for different countries.
Amazing.
And languages.
This is why we're such a popular podcast, Rob. This is what we're doing else is.
I'm happy that I made the record time. I was already 5 minutes late. I've got a croaky voice and I'm still pissed. So I'm just enjoying the chat, guys.
So does your daughter notice the difference in her life now, Ellie?
I don't know. She is genuinely more happy, I think. And I think it's really beneficial to her being closer to my parents to have that, you know, there's extra grown-ups in their life. I think it makes them feel secure.
Well, it makes your life easier. And then it's more, if you've got more flexibility, then you're more chilled rather than stressing about getting to and from childcare.
Yeah. So yeah, I'm glad we've done it, but we're still sort of getting used to it all, you know, and hashtag badgers. So we'll get there.
Oh yeah, the badger sitch.
We'll get there.
They're quick as well.
Are they?
Yeah, they can move. My mate got chased by one and he said he's never been more petrified in his life. Because he didn't know what it was. And he just saw this thing and they're quite like bulky and really fast. And he just hit himself and ran away. And then he was like, but on paper, that you wouldn't think you'd be scared of a badger.
Badger, no.
But they're lumpy old things. It's sort of
they've got claws as well, haven't they, badgers? They're really clawy.
It's like a stripy wombat, isn't it?
So, Ellie, you've written a book about what period of parenting does it cover?
Yes. Well, the whole, all of it. All of it, mate.
All of it.
Yeah. So the book's called My Child and Other Mistakes.
Yes.
So it has
a great title.
I know, but it does have to sell well so I can afford the therapy my child will need when she can read.
Do you know what? It's a similar situation to us here, isn't it, Rob?
What's that?
There's a slight kind of, is the title kind of saying that parenting's tough and I don't enjoy it kind of thing. Is that going to be problematic when my child's
older?
Oh,
no, fuck on. It'll be fine. Do you know what? I'll go, right, I have a problem with me. And then as soon as I have a kid, I'll go, told you.
Now you understand.
You must admit, it is hell, but, you know, life is hell. We just navigate through it.
I mean, that's basically it. And the subtitle of it is How to Ruin Your Life in the Best Way Possible. See, so there's positivity in there.
Yeah.
So, it's about sort of deciding to have a kid when I didn't really like children, getting pregnant, pregnancy, birth, newborn, and life after. So it's like the whole thing. And it's kind of, it's basically the book I wish I could have read when I was pregnant or thinking about having kids.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah.
Because was you not sort of like, did you not really that maternal? Like, did you not bother about having kids?
No.
Did you always want them?
No, didn't always want them. Wasn't sure. Kind of basically decided to have them because I couldn't imagine dying not being a mum. Bleak.
Right? That is.
Isn't it? It's bleak.
That's an interesting kind of way to go into it. Go, it's kind of feeling that, this is a thing I kind of almost have to do.
Yeah.
Yeah, but that's quite, if you use that for all things, you could get in a lot of trouble with that. You know, like if I don't want to be the guy that died and didn't eat that pizza. Because I really want to eat that pizza. I don't want to be that guy that, you know, he's sort of, you can put it about everything.
Yeah. Well, it's the same reason I've been to I went on the London Eye because I felt I had to. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. Do you know what I've stopped doing? Going up stuff to look down. I went at the Burj, you know, the biggest building in the world in Dubai. And I got up there and it's just the floor, but further away, isn't it? It's terrible.
Oh, God. Yeah, I mean, maybe I should have thought more carefully about my sort of flippant philosophy.
Well, I think it's true that if that's how you felt. But it does give your, I think, because like you sort of think, if we didn't have kids, we could have done this, could have done that. But then all the things, what we've done from having kids, it is a pain in the ass, it's a pain in the ass. But there's some amazing moments, you know, and stuff, which just make it all worthwhile. It's sort of, it's almost like following the England football team, isn't it? You just sort of think, what is the point of this? And in one semi-final, you're like, yes, please. It was worth it.
Oh, God. No, I know. Me and my friends, we had a chat the other day. We were like, we love our children, but sometimes it is like, but why do people have children? Because it's awful. Like, but what? We just followed. We're just like lemmings and we've just done it because everyone else does it. But really,
it is,
but
a bit
really,
like that,
it is quite awful a lot of the time.
Yeah. Yeah. I think that's fair. I think there's... But it's at the worst moments when you find yourself thinking about your friends that don't have children and what they're up to.
Oh, yeah.
But what I'd say is though, you guys are in the, you've got a newborn basically, Josh, and she's still only 2.5. But like now, 5 and 3, like I've been out on the smash at the football last 2 or 3 weeks. Lou, don't give a shit. And then she'll go out with her mates. It's sort of like, it's so much more manageable when they get that bit older. You do get that freedom back. So it's only, I'd say, it's only 3 years of your life you'll lose and then you can enjoy yourself again.
say all that. I mean, obviously she's joyous and she's actually talking now and stuff, and she's so funny. And I'm loving this bit way more than the newborn stuff. So it does feel like there's definitely feels like there's way more sunshine than there has been. But yeah, it was. I wanted to write a book about the whole sort of experience, and it is. It's very honest, and I talk very, very candidly about how hard I found the newborn stuff, which I was awful. But yeah, and I'm really glad with how it's come out.
I should fess up that I've read your book, Ellie, and I loved it. You sent it to me, didn't you?
You did.
As a PDF, which isn't a nice way to read a book.
It's really
but there we
not.
Go.
But, you know, I'm not an awful ask. So thank you for that.
Yeah. And it's brilliantly written, and it's really great. There's a really great bit about kind of you wanted to do Live at the Apollo. You did Live at the Apollo, very kind of noticeably pregnant, and you thought that was kind of an important thing to do, didn't you?
Yeah, I loved, like, being pregnant and gigging was my favourite time of being a comic, because I just felt so, and strap in for a cliche, empowered, but I really did, like, to be like this massive wall of woman and just so visibly pregnant. And I think pregnant women are funny as well, like, to look at. Ridiculous, like absolute clowns.
Yeah. I mean, I'm glad you said it, but it's so mental having a baby in your belly, isn't it?
Weird. It's so weird. You are the punchline. You are the banana skin being slipped on, like, to look at. So to be up there, visually funny, and I also wore like a really tight dress, really short, massive heels. I just looked like I was an image, right? Like, you'd notice me sort of thing. And to be in a position of power where you're on stage, where, you know, you're commanding an audience, I just think you so rarely see a pregnant woman anyway, but a pregnant woman in that sort of elevated status. And I loved it. I just absolutely loved it. I've just really enjoyed it. Felt really powerful. And it was, my favourite period of being a comic.
Also, it was great for BBC's diversity because it was two women on stage at once. Yeah. I was absolutely loving that.
We're the new Mel and Sue.
It's quite exciting now to go, like, you were on stage with me, inside me.
I know.
When I did the gig.
My little sidekick. Yeah, it's wicked. I can't wait to show her. She'll hate it all, I'm sure.
Did you have loads of material about being pregnant? And then when you gigged again afterwards, you're like, oh, this is really annoying now I'm not pregnant, that I've lost a load of material.
Yeah, but then I just got a circular cushion, shoved it up there in a way. It was quite annoying because I had loads. It's just really, obviously, it's so ripe for material as well. So it's a bit annoying. Might have to get up the duff just to use some of that again.
Oh, God. People have done a lot more to get an old bit going.
Did you write it as you went? Because I struggle to remember stuff. Do you know what I mean? Like, from that first period, it's really, like, really blurry, and people, it's like the cliche, isn't it? If you don't really remember that first, those few months, you blank them out. So did you know you were writing this as you were going through?
No, I think I found it really cathartic writing about the birth and the newborn bit, actually, because I don't know, it sort of ordered my thoughts and it made me really think about it and reflect on how it was. And I've said to my friends, I was like, you all need to do it. Just write down what happened and how you felt, because it's just sort of, I don't know, sort of cleared things up for me now. And I'm like, that was my experience and I can sort of put it in a box. I really enjoyed writing about the newborn bit, even though it was quite bleak. And I think in hindsight, I probably had some postnatal depression. But even through that, there's so many, like, I remember last time I came on, I spoke to you about the ridiculous lactation expert that made me pretend to breastfeed a puppet of Elmo. So that, I mean, that stuff happened. I mean, there's the lovely, horrific story about me taking my first poo after I've had a kid, which is
because that's quite a big deal, isn't it?
Yeah, this is the experience. I mean, blokes have their dads have their own experience, but women, it's a different kettle of fish. It's it was more traumatic than the birth, I'll be honest. Yeah.
But the equivalent of that is if you've been out on a bender on a stag do and you've just been drinking Grolsch and you have to have a shit. That's as close as men can get to it. Where for you, it must have been a much more horrific experience.
That, but also recovering from major surgery and having a child breastfeeding the whole time.
Oh God!
Oh my God!
At the same time, you did a poo breastfeeding.
I felt, yeah, in a way, I feel quite proud of that.
That's too much stuff going in and out, isn't it?
It was a confusing time, but I was like, I felt really proud. She never broke latch.
Wow!
Oh wow!
Even afterwards, when I had a lot of drugs going through my system after a cesarean, digestive system goes a bit sluggish anyway when you've had a baby. So it was like a few days, and I'd been warned that it's going to be a full on experience. So I basically had to hypnobirth this giant shit out. And then I was like, oh, thank God it's out. And I was like sweating. And oh my God, the relief. Oh my God, it's all done. Baby's still on my boob. Flush the loo. It didn't go down.
Oh no.
And at this point, me and my husband still have the kind of relationship where we don't talk about poo. Like that's the one sort of mystique bit that we still have. Not anymore. That's ruined.
Lovely mystique. Mystique.
We keep trying to keep it sexy. Don't talk about poo.
Keep it sexy, right? So I didn't want to be like, hey, can you come and help me shift this giant shit? So I decided when I was like 5 days after giving birth, I barely slept, I'm just sort of unhinged. What I decided to do, the most reasonable thing, is while my child's still feeding, I find a little hotel shower cap, over my hand, and I bend down with my
still breastfeeding.
Still breastfeeding the whole time, still breastfeeding. And I physically break up my own poo movement, and then finally flush it down. And I stood back up, everything was fine. Baby did not break latch. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much. Unbelievable.
I'm a hero. Thank you.
Also, I would like to mention the mystique in your relationship. I'd argue that, sure, you didn't ask him to break up your poo, but you have told it on a podcast and in a book. So surely he will hear about this.
Oh, now
I'd say that mystique's isn't it?
It's well and truly gone by now. But at that point, it was still intact. But yeah, I think the first time he heard about it was reading the book. So lovely little treat for him.
Oh, wow. Would you say that was your lowest moment then?
I mean,
it's got to be. It's got to be.
It's one of them. Yeah,
I can't get lower than a U-bend. Literally, you come back up again.
Can I ask what happened to the shower cap?
Oh, that's R.I.P. Although I met a lady who'd also had a cesarean and a traumatic first poo. She also blocked the loo. She decided to put her poo in a plastic bag, which she then wrapped in more plastic bags, like an awful pass the parcel.
Oh no!
And then she gave it to her husband and said, "Just put this in the outside bin. Don't ask me what it is."
Oh, wow.
And he did
I've done that before.
He did.
Street bin. You know you've had a bad run of using a street bin. Not even your own side bin. In the street. Run by a bus stop. Is that all cesarean births then, the going to the toilet, or is it just all after birth?
I think all toilet births troubles in general, but I think cesareans, there's more drugs in your system.
So is it always basically constipation? It's just a big one to get out.
It's constipation, and it's just your whole system's been so traumatized and had the most, dramatic few days. So everything's sort of slowed down.
It's just not working at its full capacity because you've basically been through trauma, hasn't it?
Exactly.
With giving birth.
But you just don't get... God. Yeah, what there needs to be is some moon pig cards saying, well done on your first shit, because you get a lot for the baby, but the first
that
poo is...
That should be the push present.
Exactly, literally. So,
also, would you recommend maybe some stool softeners after giving birth to help?
I think
let's
in my
get Dr.
case,
Hillary on this.
Just like a saw or something would have helped things happen. So
it's like that scene in Shallow Grave where they have to break up the body.
Yeah, it's a bit like, or World's Strongest Man, you know, when they're pulling a plane along with a rope. Belly, get rid of this. But that's the thing. It's good, though, to talk about that kind of stuff, because I didn't even know that was a thing. And there'll be other people that have gone through that and go, oh, God, and they've had to break up a bit.
I mean, I would hate to talk out of turn about my wife with all the mystique, etc. But the first child, she had Nellie Taylor style,
Is she?
And then the second time, it was such a big thing that she knew this was coming. Mm. And then it was all right. And it was like she'd won the lottery. Do you know what I mean?
Really?
Like, the second time was fine. And she was like, it was like the biggest weight off her shoulders I've ever.
I'm so pleased. But can I just also say, can we not make saying like it's an Ellie Taylor thing? Like,
You guys coined it.
The catchphrase, it's an Ellie Taylor. A massive shit.
Well, let me find that. Should I ask Lou? Lou! How was your shit after the baby? No, she's just shaking her head. She's not engaged, Ellie.
Did you have an Ellie Taylor or was it all
right?
Did
you have an Ellie Taylor or a Rose second one?
Oh, dear.
and Ellie Taylor. Oh dear. Ellie, as well, what I was going to say, is there anything else people should know about the change from city to suburbs, country life with kids? Any tips you could give someone? Or do you think it's a good thing to do?
Yeah,
we're back on that subject.
Yeah, why not? Why? Yeah, I think you can never regret space. I think that's a thing for a kid. But also, they don't know the opposite. Like, so if they haven't got space, it doesn't. Do you know what I mean? It doesn't matter. They don't know what they're missing out on.
Without being crass, could you describe the size of your house in London and the size of your equivalent house in the country? Because I remember when Miles Jupp moved from Peckham to Monmouth. He basically moved from a small flat into a mansion at the same price. Have you had that kind of experience, Ellie?
It's definitely a lot bigger than the other, than the London one, like 100%. But yeah.
Did you have a garden in London?
We did, because it was full of weed, wasn't it?
Yeah,
the weed one. But it was absolutely tiny. And our garden now is, well, you know, there's room for deer and badgers. So it's definitely, it's a bit of an upgrade. It certainly is. So, you do get more for your money, Josh, when you leave.
But is the babysitting the best bit?
That's pretty good. Yeah, I would say, free childcare. Being able to just outsource, that's great. So we'd
recommend. My next question is, in 15 and a half years when your child leaves home, will you maintain your house where it is, or will you go, I miss the city?
I don't think you can move back into the city, can you? I don't know if that's even allowed. You can't go...
There's rules on that. Yeah. Pretty Patel stood there going, no.
No,
you made your choice.
I can't imagine going back into London unless I had like some cool little like bachelorette pad somewhere.
If you get divorced, basically you're saying.
Fingers crossed. So, yeah.
If I see you in the playground in Victoria Park, I'm so sorry to hear that you've split up.
But
I can only presume that...
But do you want some top knot cocktails delivered to your door? Another guy.
I think we always end with the same question, don't we, Rob?
Yeah, but I don't know if we asked you it last time, because I think you might have come on before it cropped up. It's basically Crosby's Law, where is there one thing that annoys you about the way your partner does parenting that you haven't told them because it might start a fight, but you think is justified? And if they heard this, they would go, that is fair. Is there something that frustrates you about your husband? Is husband?
Husband. Yeah. What annoys me about him? What annoys me is that he seems to have the ability to, she listens to him way more than she listens to me, which I do find quite irritating. Like I have to call him in for backup, and I hate that. I hate that I can't get to sleep.
Oh, yeah, that's
like,
undermining.
It's so undermining. The little pricks is making me look like an idiot. I hate that about him. What else do I hate?
So give me an example. So she wouldn't go to sleep unless he told her.
Yeah, she's in a funny mood, and then she'll like cry and go, mummy, lay down. And I'll end up laying on the floor all night. And he's like, no, I'll sort it out. And goes in like, and I don't know, he's like the baby whispers or something. And then comes out and she's like, my work is done.
Oh,
he's a bit, he's a bit more stern, is he?
Yeah, I think so. She just respects him more, I think.
So what you don't like about the way he parents is that she respects him more than you.
Yeah, basically, I don't like how good he is at parenting.
That's right. Sounds like the fact he's a really good dad.
Yeah, God.
He's really undermining to you as a mum that he's good at being a dad.
Yeah, it's basically that. What a tool. Yeah.
Well, he sounds dreadful. Hopefully he hears this and he sorts that right out.
I'll feed him to the badgers, don't worry.
Yeah. I just had a look at what badgers do to a lawn, and they really ruin it, don't they?
Oh, you can't even imagine, Rob. I'll send you some pics. Yeah, don't worry.
Thanks, Ellie.
Is there anything you can do? Do email in, guys, if you've got any badger
solutions.
No, you
don't. You keep them. It's their countryside. We moved into their patch. That's the right.
Exactly that. We share with
Brian,
them.
Yeah, exactly.
And also, pellet gun. That's a joke. I don't mean that. I do not mean that.
Either that or dynamite. You want to ruin a lawn, mate? Shut that down, it's set. Right. God, thanks
Ellie,
so much, Ellie.
That was brilliant. Such a pleasure to talk to you. When's the book out?
22nd of July.
But you can pre-order.
You can pre-order.
Ellie, thanks so much.
Thanks, guys.
Thanks so much, Ellie.
Bye.
Bye.
Ellie Taylor.
I love Ellie Taylor. She's so nice, isn't she? Very funny. Good at writing books. Good at comedy. Not as good at parenting as a partner.
Not as good at parenting, but, you know, you can't be good at everything, can you?
Yeah, exactly. If you've got a massive shit that needs sorting out, she'll pop her.
Exactly. buy a book, cap. Or alternatively, if you need someone to sort out a U-Bend, she'll turn up with a shower cap.
It's interesting though that I think a lot of people you make that decision. That's what you're thinking about at the moment, isn't it? Whether you stay or go somewhere a bit more space in the suburbs.
The way we would decide, I think what we're doing is we've got a nice little local school, and if she gets in there, then that'll buy us a few more years. Do you know what I mean?
Oh yeah, I get you.
So if Hackney Council are listening, come on guys, chuck us a fucking bone here. Give us our first choice. Also, on that Hackney Council, could I get some more food waste bags?
No badgers, though. You don't want badgers.
Don't want badgers. Absolutely. No more badgers.
Absolutely not. Right, well, we'll be back next week with some more episodes.
See you then.
Bye.